It's like an inbred dog.
Sure.
Or I mean a breed dog. You know what I mean? A breed dog.
Like a dog that's bred, like a purebred.
There it is.
There it is. Yeah.
I don't know dog stuff.
I'm not. I really don't know. Well, I always try and be nice to people and be like, oh, like what kind of dog is it? And people are like, oh my God, it's like an Australian Shepherd. And I'm just like,
I'm picturing any dog.
Like could be any kind of dog. Like, I'm like, oh my God, that's so great. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck a dog breed is. Like, no. I don't know shit about shit.
Golden Retriever. I'm familiar with that.
I'm like, yeah, I've seen Homeward Bound. You get outside of that trifecta. I'm like, listen.
And one of those was a cat.
So. Well, exactly. One of those was a cat. One was a Golden Retriever. And then like, there was some other kind of dog.
The middle one.
The middle one.
It was Michael J. Fox.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Oh.
So shaky.
Oh.
I
know Parkinson's.
I know. It's sad. I'm not making fun.
No.
I snotted. You don't usually see it because we're typically apart.
But I saw it tonight.
You did.
Because tonight we are together.
Together.
At last.
It's just beautiful. So planned.
So planned. So impromptu. So together. Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome to Why Are You Like This?
They like live as a horse sometimes. I'll show you that
you
later.
You showed me the pictures of the people.
You should get torches free when you buy like a long black or white robe.
There's an episode of Law and Order SVU about this, I was just saying.
Can we not make this about chastity right now?
You're like, listen, this isn't that serious.
It's fine if you want to kill the torso. Kill the torso, it'd be super easy.
I'm like always close enough to something that could cleanse the air. And the woman was talking about the Hershey's Kiss in an incredibly sexual manner.
And I believe in a lot of bullshit that other people think is trash, so maybe.
Facts.
Welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome. The podcast where we sometimes reference Homeward Bound and don't know anything about dog breeds, but most of the time spend our moments, hours, years, other time periods spitting loosely about
you can't get distracted by me just because I'm physically here. I'm gonna do shit silently the whole time.
Oh man. Listen, this is gonna be a real test.
You might have to put a blindfold on.
I might not have to look at her because if I'm fully honest, I usually spend my podcasting recording time looking at myself in a mirror. And if that's not crazy, I don't know what is. So welcome to Why Are You Like This, the podcast where we break down some part of human behavior, our culture, etc., in order to determine why people are the way that they are. That's Jamie Ryan, one time in Chicago.
And that's Austin Williams, also in Chicago.
Usually here. And tonight we're reunited, and I'm going to see how well I can last through being face-to-face with her silhouette.
Yeah.
And that said, what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight. This evening.
This morning, whenever the fuck you're listening to this.
There it is. Anytime. We will be making our way canoeing, perhaps.
I love a canoe.
Through a cultural soup. Try to keep an open mind. I don't want to use the C word too much, but some of it's going to sound a little crazy. But I'm going to try to treat all of it, even when there's a lot of silliness with, I'm going to like treat it with respect because I want to be able to like spin the narrative in a way that's like fun, interesting. And like, I want to give it a chance before we like rip it to shreds.
Love it.
So I'm going to tell it like I'm a fanatic, or sort of. I'll probably have a hard time doing that.
I mean, do your best and I'll just ream on you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Here for it.
Yeah. So just a little preview. Some of the topics we're going to be diving into tonight include Noah's Ark.
Oh.
Gilgamesh.
Oh.
Ancient Aliens.
Ancient, like ancient aliens.
Like the History Channel show, Ancient Aliens.
I'm not familiar, but
it's a huge cultural movement. Like Katy Perry wouldn't stop tweeting about it.
Oh, this feels really on brand for her. I'm here for
this. She also by herself brought back Funfetti. Did you know that she did that?
Wait, what?
Yeah. they got rid of funfetti cake, like the cake? And icing. Yeah. And then she was like on Twitter being loud about it. And then like
people joined her.
Like Duncan Hines, if that is that the company? Like
Duncan or Betty Crocker. I don't
whichever one.
One of those with the red label.
I think they like tweeted back at her and were like, do you really want this? And she was like, yes. Some kind of way like that. It was different, but you know what I mean.
They were like, do you really want this? And Katy Perry said, damn straight I did, been tweeting about it for weeks. Here's the great
thing. She got like people to like get loud about it, and they brought it back by popular demand.
The thing that makes me the most happy about this story is that there's not some like brand or sect of people that's reaching out to our president at any point and going, hey, do you really want this? Because like, we're not ready for that. But pop stars like chasing after funfetti, absolutely ready for the advocate.
She got it done.
Like, girl. Yeah, so Katy Perry, Ancient Aliens. This feels great.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Katy Perry any more than we just did. That's like a wrap on her for tonight.
Listen, we'll see what we can do. I'll see if I can bring it back
around. Try to work it in.
I will.
So, Noah's Ark, Gilgamesh, Ancient Aliens, Christian End Times Paranoia.
Yes.
Modern Demons and Racism / Genocide, and the topic of tonight that all of these are in a tangled, tangled web with are...
Drum roll.
It's weird I can do that because we're together.
Yeah, it is.
The Nephilim, or as biblical scholars pronounce it, Nephilim.
Listen, I don't know what either one of these pronunciations means because I don't know what this is about.
Okay, so you have never heard of...
No.
Okay. Do you know like the TV show Fallen?
I feel like I've heard of it, but I've never watched it.
That was how I have heard of it, but I never watched it. I just like, I wanted to be aware of
like... Is that like about fallen angels?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
So.
This is like a Lucifer kind of tale.
Yeah. Okay. A little bit.
All right.
Luckily Jason. We already did the devil episode.
Listen, so. We never stop talking about Satan. Let me get my sage wand.
Do you want to light some?
Kind of.
You can. Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to think about it.
Okay. So the Nephilim, I guess, to introduce them, I'll tell you like how I first came across them.
Okay.
Do you remember the Wrinkle in Time series of books by Madeline L'Engle?
I read A Wrinkle in Time. I don't think I read any of the other ones. Is it a trilogy?
There are... I don't know. It's a series. There are at least four because I read four of them.
Oh, okay. I read just A Wrinkle in Time and nothing else.
But I will say that book four, which is the one I'm about to talk about, is a hard pivot from the rest of the series.
Okay.
So the other three are like sci-fi and like, yes, time travel, but they're very much like live in the world of like, future science, I guess.
Okay.
Like we go into like Charles Wallace's mitochondria in one of them.
Oh, this gets a little sciencey.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Wrinkle in Time, the time travel, while there is like this kind of inventor, like science part of things, it's like mystical.
Okay, yes.
To me, it's like it's that inventor property of like someone who's like...
To be fair, I cannot remember that book.
Well, okay, so... It's been so long.
We don't need to.
We're not going to summarize this for you because like we haven't even read the Wikipedia summary recently. But like,
and it's irrelevant to tonight. If
it's
you're
completely
curious,
irrelevant.
Go find it.
But what I recall is that like somebody gets lost in time.
All I remember is that's
and
the first
he's like
the word
and
he's
like an inventor of sorts. Like you wouldn't call him like a scientist. He feels like a little bit like science meets magician.
Okay, it's like the Back to the Future guy.
Doc?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would feel like he's an inventor. Yes, like that feels more on Wrinkle in Time brand to me than any mitochondrial shit.
Okay. So all that to say, the first couple were what Austin described, Wrinkle in Time was mystical, science-y. Then like the next two were like really intense sci-fi with Charles Wallace's mitochondria. But then book number four.
Okay.
Took us into... I guess I would, I don't feel good about calling it historical fiction.
So where is this going?
I would maybe call it mythical fiction Because it, so the book is called Many Waters.
Okay.
And instead of being like the children that were previously focused on.
Right.
It's about the twins. Their names are like Danny and something else.
Yep. Sounds right. Mm-hmm.
They somehow get transported to the time just before Noah's flood ark.
Oh, shit. So
when
you're like,
the syntax is wrong in what I said, but you feel me.
No, I feel you. And when you were like, I don't want to call this historical fiction or like mythical fiction, what you're toying with is like, how many people believe that Noah's Ark story was real?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So,
I don't want to qualify that for anybody. So
for some people, this is historical fiction. For some people, this is like
mythical fiction.
Mythical fiction. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So we are.
It's a narrative based on another piece of literature narrative exactly. that already exists. Totally. It's like when something's based in Greek mythology, but
yeah,
we're referencing back to something. Totally.
Yeah,
I'm
10 Things I Hate About You is
Shakespeare. It's Taming of the Shrew.
Taming of the Shrew, yeah. So it takes place just before the flood hits, and some of the characters in the story are Noah and his family and the people that live in their village.
And then these twins who have like traveled.
Who have
back.
Arrived.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
And somehow they figure out that like it's happening and they're like, so the whole book is them being like, fuck, how do we get home? Because like we'll just be killed if we stay here.
Right. Because it's going to flood. Here's the thing. And I don't want to jump the gun on anything on you, but I never got the impression that A Wrinkle in Time was like a particularly like Christian book. Like for kids, like
I didn't pick that up, but I could have been like,
I could have missed it. Like I could have missed it. Man, there's so many things. It's like themes reoccur in all sorts of ways. Like Harry Potter has like Jesus-y undertones at mm-hmm. certain points. For sure. Like anything by C.S. Lewis, but that was like really intentional, but
Tolkien,
yeah. totally like Christian. But I didn't get that A Wrinkle in Time and like Madeline L'Engle was like part of that.
And I feel like sci-fi pivots harder away from religion than fantasy usually
Ooh,
does.
That's well played. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like science and religion are frenemies.
Yeah. Yeah. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're actually going to be talking a lot about how science fiction, and religion are frenemies tonight.
Okay. Okay.
Because the Nephilim sit like in this weird space right between like Christian, like deep cut stuff.
Oh, okay.
And like shit that was like cut from the Bible, but has like culturally trickled through into like some modern evangelical Christian like rhetoric.
Mm, kind of like fallen angels and Lucifer. Because that's not like true Bible, but a lot of people it's Bible
it's
adjacent
exactly.
enough that we take it that way. Yeah. Got
like
it.
How we like just like we talked about in the devil episode, like how that like grew into what we know today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even though there are like stories about the Nephilim and the fallen angels who are their fathers, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Oh.
Even though the Nephilim like pop up in the Bible occasionally, a lot of it is like very brief, and then it's in like the Book of Enoch, which was like cut.
Mm.
So anyway, getting ahead of myself. And then on like the sci-fi side, I guess, like conspiracy theorists like to use the idea of the Nephilim, and it creates like a strange ancient aliens intersection.
Oh, wait, yeah. So conspiracy theorists often believe in the Nephilim?
Mm-hmm, but they call them something else.
Oh,
they think
fuck.
That Christians are just talking about aliens, but don't know
that
they're
aliens.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
So there's like, those are the two main points of view when people talk about the Nephilim, is either like legit they're evil and you're a Christian, or these are aliens that are like trying to take over the world.
Okay.
And that's like the really broad sense.
Sure,
so,
totally. Here for it and intrigued and excited.
Whew, yeah. And just, oh my God, watching like the YouTube videos of people explaining this, like they were going off so hard on like all the numerology of like the Bible verses in that like.
Well, listen, you know I'm here for numerology. I love it.
Yeah, the videos are a little like that crazy talk, excited, like conspiracy theorist way where you're like, whew, I can't breathe. Like,
I was kind of enjoying that shit though. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. They stress me out a little bit.
All right. I like kind of, I don't know. I can be here for that.
I kind of feel like all of that culturally really got kicked off by Dan Brown, and I don't want to give him too much credit.
Fucking Da Vinci Code, motherfucker.
I know. I really feel like the whole like Knights Templar, Illuminati, like Mary Magdalene, like all of that shit.
Well, the thing about the, you know, whole Dan Brown saga and...
How many are there, by the way? Because I watched Angels and Demons in prep for this episode, but then they didn't talk about the Nephilim at all.
I think that there are 3 books, but I think they only made 2 movies, maybe?
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to, like, read a book for this.
No, I read The Da Vinci Code in high school, actually. And it is...
It's good fiction.
Well,
interesting fiction.
I found the movies, and I like Tom Hanks, but I found the movies, like, blasé and stupid.
Okay, I couldn't even get through Angels and Demons. When I tried to watch it, I was like, there's no... I don't give a shit about anyone.
I didn't watch Angels and Demons. I did watch The Da Vinci Code. And I will say, like, as much as I think Tom Hanks is great, it just really missed the mark on being the kind of, like, puzzle-driven thriller that the book kind of feels like it is.
Okay.
And... The thing, though, about just, like, Da Vinci Code in general that harkens back to what you're saying and the kind of conspiracy theorists and did Dan Brown kick this whole thing off, there are a lot of people who read the Da Vinci Code and the way the text and the mystery and the puzzles and the things are unraveling are centered around things that all really exist of, like, scripture.
That's
and
fair.
Things in the Louvre in, you know, Paris.
Like, and the clues are real.
The things that exist... as the clues are real things, it's an inserted narrative on all these things. People believed that.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was true. And.
But now I feel like there's trickle through here too, like years later.
Totally. And it's a really double-edged sword, I think. And it gets really wrapped up.
It is good in some ways.
Well, it's good in some ways, but it's also weird in some ways because to believe and have your world shaken that the Da Vinci Code is like telling you all these conspiracies, you'd also have to already come from a place in which you believed that what was like biblical was true for this to rock your world and to be like, oh my gosh, because otherwise if you don't subscribe to any of it, you're like, here's this one piece of fiction calling another piece of fiction fiction.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So it really depends on what your background is and where you come from, how like something like this would like really rock your world or not. But Dan Brown's, it's just, it is, I mean, there's a reason it's very popular. It's, I don't want to say it's like, I wouldn't say it's literarily like incredible, yeah. Like that the writing is like flowery and magnificent, but in like a grocery store checkout line.
Well, it's like a little puzzle or a big puzzle to solve.
It's a mystery that captured people's attention.
And it's kind of taboo because it's talking about stuff that like, the
people
church
don't
does not
want
think
you
is,
to.
Yeah, they're
that's
like,
the
please
premise
don't
of the
talk
book.
About that.
The
yeah.
book is like, oh my God, nobody wants us to be talking about this shit. it picked a good subject. It, you know, touched on things people were familiar with and had like people wrapped up in things, and it made you, quote unquote, if you come from some situation that maybe question things you thought you knew.
Yeah.
Or just, I don't know.
But that's kind of what I'm saying.
It was a thrilling series of puzzles.
But I feel like that's what I'm saying. Like, was Dan Brown kind of the kickoff for a generation of people who maybe hadn't read, like, Behold a Pale Horse or any other, like, conspiracy theory, like,
totally.
Serious, like, thick text? Like, maybe it popularized this thinking. Because,
it was,
like, conspiracy theories are, like, more popular than ever. And some of that is to do, like, with our political climate and people, like, choosing to believe that things are not real because it's easier. Or we're starting to see through some shit, which is possible too.
Well, all of that's fair to say. And maybe it harkens me back on you saying it's almost like conspiracy theory light, which for me is like 50 Shades of Grey was like fetish and kink light. That
yeah, I
also
was thinking
a grocery
about that
store
too.
Aisle book that people would pick up, and it hit just enough stuff and wasn't too crazy that people were going to let rock their world.
Either.
It doesn't. Neither one of these books ask a lot of
They're
you.
Not like deep cuts.
No, hell no.
Yeah, of any way.
Okay. No.
So all that to say, let's keep an open mind about the Nephilim.
Let's keep an open mind.
Yeah. So let's just start with their first appearance in the Bible.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
So I'm going to read to you Genesis 6.
This is where I like get out the Palo Santo because you like might put on a scary voice and then read biblical scripture at me. Okay.
I'll be reading this from Wikipedia.
But it where is... anybody reads scripture, really? Or anything.
Genesis 6. When man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took them as their wives, any they chose. Then the Lord said,
My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years.
The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. So, fallen angels...
We're definitely burning incense after this, like minimum. Jesus fucking Christ.
I tried to switch it up for the God quote.
I liked that. It was a nice touch.
It was really deep and hard to do, though.
You sustained it well.
Thank you. Okay, so that's Genesis 6, 1 through 4. One of the only places the Nephilim are mentioned. So basically what they are is a bunch of fallen angels happened. They revolted in heaven, came down to earth. Thought that the women were hot, fucked the women. Women,
as people do. This is like the beginning of, this is a tale as old as time. They were villains from somewhere else that came in and fucked the women.
Yep.
Tale as old as time. Beauty and the Nephilim. Okay.
So the Nephilim are the offspring of the fallen angels and the human women.
Oh, these are like the Titans.
Yes, thank you. Yes. So if we look at it in a macro sense, other cultures have these figures too.
Sure. In Greek mythology, it is like the Greek Titans. Gods having the kiddos with the humans. Yep. It's the Titans.
And then there's like the huge battle where the Titans are chained up by the heroes and they're sent to Tartarus, mm-hmm. which is like a level, like a deep cut level of hell, like below Hades.
Right.
But interestingly enough, the word Tartarus appears just one place in the Greek Christian Bible.
Uh-huh.
And it's in Paul's writings when he's talking about the demons on the earth and the fallen angels being like bound forever. And he says that they're sent to Tartarus, which is the only time that that word is shared, like across like a Christian and a Greek myth text.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we're still talking about the Titan, like if we're talking about the Titans, I feel pretty sure we're talking about the Nephilim.
Oh, damn. Well, listen, always, always remember the Titans.
Oh, that pivotal, pivotal movie for you.
It's in my top five of all time. Don't question me. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
It hurts my heart. I like strategically watch it when I'm in like a dark place. And I don't let people into my inner sanctum of watching that movie with me that I'm not sure are going to be around for forever. Because I cannot have anyone ruin that movie for me.
Yeah.
I fucking love Remember the Titans.
I won't ruin it for you.
Nope, because you've never watched it with me.
No, I haven't. Because you know I don't love it.
I know.
It's listen. Fine. I get it. It's just not, I don't.
It's one of those dark parts of me that I don't like to share with people, like feel good music and Remember the Titans. And yet I just keep revealing them. So here we are. I fucking love that movie.
I myself too. It's fine.
Listen. Favorite. Love it.
So I just read Genesis 6 to you. And there is a book by a guy named Reverend Gary Wayne.
Okay.
It's called The Genesis 6 Conspiracy.
Okay.
In prep for this episode, I listened to, I don't know, probably like 10 hours of interviews with Reverend Gary Wayne on like various podcasts and
radio
shows.
Nothing about this shocks me.
It got difficult. Like some of it got really homophobic. Like,
oh,
like one of them, they were talking about like the Nephilim and like shit getting bad on Earth, like, because of evil. And then, like, they launched into, like, a 40-minute, like, homophobic, like, long thing. And I was just like, this is enough. Like,
no.
I've just had enough.
Let's shut it down on that.
All yeah. Right. So, anyway. Also, a funny, interesting thing is that his name is Reverend Gary Wayne. And okay. on the show Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, the mm-hmm. guy that had kidnapped her and put her in a bunker, played by John Hamm.
Okay.
His name is Reverend Wayne Gary Wayne.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's so close.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Accident? I think not.
I don't know. I mean, this guy was alive before that show came out, so. Oh, I got you. Sorry, I had a chicken or the egg moment.
Uh-huh. I watched the fire between your eyes light up when you realized
what. If we were on the phone, that would have been more confusing.
Uh-huh, sure would have been.
Okay, so Reverend Gary Wayne, his theory is like, okay, hold on to your hat. Oh, I forgot about this until I just read it.
All right. Let me just put my hand on my brim. Mm-hmm.
So the Nephilim, who are like the giants of old.
Yes.
Who like are... Their fathers are fallen angels. Their mothers are humans.
Christian titans.
Yeah. They continued to populate the earth. They continued to, like, fuck women. And, like, I'm trying not to, like, get too in my head about that. Like, okay. just the physicality of, like...
Raping women.
Well, they're supposed to be, like, 18 to 25 feet tall.
Whoa.
So...
Help us, Lord Jesus.
You, like, do the math on...
Yep.
Nope. Whatever, like, genital ratio math is.
Listen... I don't want to, and I'm going to abstain. Just going to take a back seat on that one.
Abstinence only.
Listen, abstinence only in this case, because, like, I cannot.
Yeah, no. You would die. Anyway.
No, God.
Oh, wait. But that reminds me, in the book Many Waters,
yeah.
The twins go back in time, and they're worried about the impending flood.
Yeah.
And Noah is prepping the ark. His sons are going to go on it. But two of his daughters, two of Noah's daughters...
Mm-hmm.
Are one is married to and the other is just like engaging in a sexual relationship with two Nephilim.
Oh,
so that's like the first time that I like came across Nephilim, and it was in this very like
YA novel,
like YA what? Novel, but like very like sexual way. And the like, and I like remember thinking about like the size of their dicks, like when I was like 9 years old reading this.
I mean, you'd have to though,
right? Because they're described as enormous, and then like all the women that are with them, like, so they don't explicitly describe like the sex parties, but like I feel like I remember them talking about like the Nephilim's tents, like, and the women they lived with being like off in the like area, like a different area in the village, and you could like hear like moans and shit through the night, and like lots of people.
Man, Madeline. Ooh, this is a hard departure from A Wrinkle in Time.
Madeline, I'm sorry if that's not in the book and I like added it. That sorry.
Listen.
But I feel like it was in there.
If it wasn't, it was in your head when you read it.
And yeah, I just remember feeling like the women who like were with the Nephilim were like sexually like advanced like beyond anyone else. And wow. That also like, for some reason I feel like DP was a thing, but like surely that was not in the book.
I mean, I like, surely not.
I feel like there was some kind of reference to like one of them like being with more than one man at the same time.
I just...
But if you were with a Nephilim, like, then you could do anything. Like, anything.
Listen, I don't know if this is really Many Waters or if this is the version of Many Waters when HBO bought a contract to make it.
Wait, so this is historical fiction, but then...
Well, mythical fiction.
Sorry. Wait, yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know that that was happening, but in my head it was happening. So I worry sometimes about the physicality of these women who are fucking these Nephilim.
How could you not?
Yeah. So that is what got me interested in the Nephilim so hard. And then I had a really hard time finding biblical information until this week with Reverend Gary's theory of Noah and the Nephilim. So he thinks that the Nephilim, or the aliens, depending on who you ask.
Oh, God.
Had at this point infiltrated all of the bloodlines in the world except for Noah's.
Oh.
And that Noah was the only pure human left.
So then in theory, God is trying to flood the earth to get rid of the Nephilim, these fallen mm-hmm. angels, and keep the only like pure line.
Just trying to keep the humans alive.
Oh man, this is some pure blood shit a little bit.
It is. Okay. I think it is. That's why I said we're going to get into like touch on some genocide stuff, because if you flip this shit.
Well, I feel you. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so Gary Wayne's theory is that is why the earth was flooded, to rid the Nephilim.
Yeah.
And then,
well, the whole earth flooding to like kill like the bad group. I mean, forget Nephilim, but just like, yep. That's a tough pill to swallow it really in and of is. Itself. Like, I just, you know what? I thought I'd create a natural disaster to like kill just some people who I was just like, these aren't the good ones.
Yep.
Well, we don't have time to like put weight into that biblical passage right now, but just
it gets
set that aside on a platter.
Yeah, it's tough. But it gets like really heavily validated because like over and over, Gary Wayne is talking about like how the Nephilim are like perverting everything like that the Lord has made, and that like, like they are the ones that like taught men how to be evil, and like that, like. Yeah, like none of that existed. And there's a
are
list.
Are they blaming? Well, but we had like, if we get biblical, like we have the original sin situation before mm-hmm. that.
So in the Book of Enoch, which was cut at one of the councils of Nicaea, I think.
Yeah.
Supposedly just because like a library had recently burned down and it was like inconvenient to get another copy.
Right.
But then like also like. There was information that, like, disagreed with other information people were pushing at the time.
Oh, there was a fire at the library?
Exactly.
Quote, unquote. You want to get on a motherfucking conspiracy theory? Let me just Dan Brown this right on through the roof. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, the records were lost.
Lost in a horrible fire.
Mm-hmm. Carry on.
So, in the Book of Enoch... and Gary Wayne loves to talk about the Book of Enoch because that is where the story of the Watchers is. The Watchers is another name for the fallen angels.
I also believe the Watchers is a pretty like recent horror film,
yes.
Like in the 2000s.
Yes. And I think that it is based loosely on this.
Oh, fuck.
Or this right. concept.
Okay.
So I read the Book of Enoch in its entirety.
But naturally
I said earlier I wouldn't read a book for this. I meant I wouldn't read a long book.
Right.
It was a short book.
Well, it's a biblical books are like chapters.
Chaptery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a long chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
in the Book of the Watchers, they outline, who all the fallen angels are and like what happens.
Okay.
And basically, and we talk a little bit about this in the devil episode, I think because a lot of like devil rhetoric was maybe pulled from the Book of Enoch too, which I didn't realize until I prepped for this episode.
Oh man.
But a lot
How
of,
could you? That got lost in that fire.
It was lost in the fire.
Just
and I didn't,
what a real inconvenience.
I should have used the lost text in the previous episode, but I did not. So, little correction, whatever. There's a group of angels that basically get pissed that, like, God loves humans more than them.
Mm.
And that they are, like... They just feel they have like first
second
child
class citizen.
Yeah. It's like when you have a sibling all of a sudden. They're just like, meh, like you used to love us better.
Yeah, totally.
But they have like way more powers than us and they're immortal. So I'm like, fuck off.
Right. Let's just all calm down.
Chill out.
Count your blessings, first children. God.
You'll always be smarter, faster, stronger. Don't worry about it.
Spoken like a true first child. Jesus.
I forgot you're not.
Yeah, I'm not.
Anyway. So here's just like a few of the fallen angels and the things that they brought to mankind.
Okay.
Because apparently a big issue is that they taught us technologies that we were not prepared to have yet.
Mm.
Like they taught us metalworking, so we didn't know how to make weapons yet.
Okay.
They taught us like masonry, so like the pyramids and shit maybe were built.
Sure.
taught us some DNA genetic manipulation, which is theorized to be like what the Sphinx is, and maybe like some Anubis, like dog head on a man kind of deal.
Okay.
Minotaurs.
Okay.
Griffins.
Yep. Here for a griffin. Centaur.
But they're evil creatures, remember, because they're perversions of what the Lord hath made, has made. Sorry.
No, it's not... no. Keep the half.
Didn't feel right.
And well, it felt on brand.
Okay.
This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Yeah. So one of the most popular ones, like, so this is a demon's name in a lot of popular culture, like exorcism movies, but it was like a fallen angel. One of the ringleaders, Azazel?
I don't know this.
Azazel, whatever, taught humans to make knives, swords, shields, how to devise ornaments and cosmetics.
Oh, good. My hero.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, well.
Listen, I'm here for some skincare and some face paint.
Yeah. Also, Gadriel taught the art of cosmetics.
Yes.
The use of weapons and killing blows. Seems kind of like they're doing the same thing, but hey.
Listen, sounds like weaponry and war paint, and I'm here for your thick eyeliner and your swords.
Because you're like putting on your mask, like for...
Oh, yeah. Mm. I would assume. Like, do it up.
Yeah. Barakel taught astrology. I'm butchering all these, by the way. Like, I apologize to whoever's native language this is.
Killing it.
Just, yep.
Astrology with Barakel. Yeah. I like that.
I knew that you would like
these. Are all my topics. I'm like astrology, cosmetics.
Oh, Suriel taught humankind about the courses of the moon, which was at one time regarded as forbidden knowledge. So basically, yes. It's the same as the snake story. Like, humans are getting information that they're not supposed to have, and we have this, like, lockdown, like, god that's like, no, you can't know about anything.
Yeah.
And then, like, the bad guys, quote-unquote, are, like, bringing us this knowledge. Kind of like the internet.
Kind of like the internet.
Wait, yeah, because it's good and bad.
Mostly good.
Demons are the internet of old.
Demons, also known as Y2K.
Oh.
God bless.
Fuck, Y2K. They're essentially bringing us knowledge.
Okay.
But the, like, Christian spin on that is that, like, they're perverting us.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, we...
Humans weren't supposed to know this. Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da.
Stay pure and innocent and, like, ignorant, naive forever.
Man, when you really, like, break that down, it's, like, so fucked up.
It is fucked up when you think about it that way.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I feel like if I wasn't taught to think about it the other way first... is how I would read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder about that.
This seems fucked up. Yeah.
Everybody just shouldn't know about this. You shouldn't.
The moon is forbidden knowledge.
You shouldn't do those things because, like, you're not supposed to know what that's like. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the sense of.
Just crowd control.
Yeah, man. Yeah. The ushers in the Bible are just really, really hostile. And, like, the assigned seating is just strictly enforced.
For women, mostly. We have really assigned seats in,
like,
the Bible.
Oh, the most assigned. And listen, it's, like, it's not, they're not great seats.
No. Okay, so the fallen angels that brought us the knowledge, like, they were, like, generation number one. They're not the Nephilim. Like, they were truly, like, formerly angels. The Nephilim are this, like, new hybrid thing that's supposedly, like, an abomination that ruined the earth.
Okay.
But it's only mentioned a couple times in the Bible. But it keeps popping up. So, like, the flood happens. And theoretically, we start over just with Noah's line.
Mm-hmm.
But then in Numbers, I think, like, 13:33 or something. Some passage with a lot of threes in it.
Got it.
Someone will
Holy
know.
Trinity.
Yeah. It says, like, that the Nephilim were, like, there in those days as well. And they're, but it's, like, another passing comment verse where you're like, why are you talking about this again? And then again, when the Israelites go out to look at the promised land, when they come back to report, they're like, also, we saw Nephilim there. And then don't say anything else about it.
That's interesting, because maybe it's just kind of this underlying trickle of it. So much of the Bible and something that a faith is rooted on is full of origin stories. And I mean, like, Native Americans, any of, like, the Hebrew texts. I'm not well versed in everything, but
listen, it's fine.
a lot of origin stories. We're all trying to explain things and categorize and whatever. It sounds like to me the Nephilim are making this appearance because if they were saying we got rid of everything bad, you like have to have an explanation for why there's still bad stuff going on. So it's like these little trickles of like, oh, there are these evil forces. Because if everybody's like, everything's great because of God,
we would have to admit that we're not perfect.
Yeah.
Or that God is maybe not
perfect either.
Yeah.
It's that's why there's like, it's that whole, like, to have light, you have to have dark. So like to have a God, you have to have a devil. To have like people who are really pure and well-intentioned, you have to have something in that's making them the do something wrong. Sense. Right. Yeah. Because these are stories that are trying to explain things.
Totally. I feel like exactly like the Nephilim, if you look at the flood as being like a reason to get rid of them, it's like, oh, that makes like the Lord flooding the earth and killing everyone okay.
Yeah.
Like that justifies this like horrible act of genocide.
Sure.
Yeah.
But like maybe there was actually really a big flood and people were trying to describe why something like that would happen. Like the origin story kind of situation.
Totally. Totally.
Because let's say Hurricane Katrina happened.
It's hard to believe in chaos.
Right. Yeah. And we didn't have like the tools that we have. And how would you explain why something like that would happen?
It feels a lot safer to be like, it's because we did these bad things. And if we don't do these bad things, or if we like anything that like asserts a reason and control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So before we get into too much about like current conspiracy theorists,
on the Nephilim. Let's definitely get into that.
Yeah, we're going to pivot hard to that. I just want to do like a little bit of a like a descriptor. Like, what are they?
Okay.
People really like to physically describe them, which is strange to me because like I don't know where they're finding these descriptions.
I just keep imagining them, like this entire conversation in my head is basically just like the Animorphs.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're a lot closer to what other people are envisioning. I always pictured them as just like large, beautiful, shining angels.
Oh. I'm like, you know, just like some sort of scaly slug, human, alien.
Okay, no, you're way closer to what people are describing.
I'm just imagining like Animorphs.
Sure. So they are giants. As I said before, they're usually described as between 18 and 25 feet tall. They have like very long necks and supposedly like a snake-like face. So I'm kind of picturing like Voldemort on like a giant's body.
Okay.
And they have like real like narrow eyes like that and like nose slits.
Poor snakes, always being victimized.
Yep. Yep. But it's supposedly like the theory is that they look like that because like their father is like the same fallen angel that was the snake. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That like he took that form.
Totally.
And so like as his children, they look like that.
Yeah.
So somehow people are getting that description.
Okay.
I think that they're the same as the Titans.
Shiny, glossy, and great. Yeah. Humans meet power.
Exactly. They're giants, whatever. Oh, also people will theorize, Gary Wayne included, that Gilgamesh is like an evil Nephilim king. And that story like is a perversion of like the Christian history.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that you can read the Epic of Gilgamesh and like read it through the lens of Christianity, and like he did a lot of reaching, but I will say that like thematically, Gilgamesh is described, or he's described as 2/3 God and 1/3 man. And it's just another example of like a Titan of. Even like fucking pharaohs were supposed to be like man gods.
Yeah,
like they're totally. Not totally human.
Totally.
So like everywhere culturally we see this like in early times. But nowadays, let me read you a little opinion.
Oh God.
So this is from citydata.com.
Sounds reliable.
CityData forum. General forums, religion and spirituality, under category, fallen angels, extraterrestrials, Egyptian gods, all the same hell, America, mythology,
Listen,
So that's a topic, maybe? I don't...
Questions.
Whatever. So, thank you, user GSoBoy78 for this post.
Okay.
There seemed to be a connection between ancient Egyptians' fascination with the constellation Orion and fallen angels in the Holy Bible. The Egyptians believed the god Osiris was from Orion, and in fact, the Great Pyramids were arranged on the ground to mimic the three stars of Orion's belt. In ancient Aram, the constellation of Orion was known as Nephia. The Nephilim, mentioned in the Bible, may have been Orion's descendants. That's another big, like, thing that people talk about a lot.
Oh, wow, okay.
I don't feel clear on how, like, that jump is made, but, like, if anyone knows and wants to tell me, like, I'm ready.
I had never heard about the pyramids in Orion's belt, but I'm here for that shit.
Yeah, it's on Ancient Aliens and shit, and then there's, like, that graphic where, like, the pyramids are all, like, releasing lasers up to the sky.
Listen, People who are into aliens always want to tie into ancient Egypt that somehow, yeah, like
Stargate and shit. Kurt Russell. I almost watched that today and then was like, this is boring.
I mean, a lot of people are here for Kurt Russell, but I'm not one of them. And although I do root for him and Goldie, I really do.
Oh, I love them.
Overboard is a great film.
It is a great film.
Anyway, people really want to tie aliens to the Egyptians.
Always.
And I think it's just because at the end of the day, we don't have a sense of what was really going on in Egypt.
No, and they were like,
but they did some advanced.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It was an advanced society. They did some advanced things, and people were like, how do we describe this? Just must be aliens, which again takes us back to people trying to explain things and origin mm-hmm. stories. And they're like, if something was so advanced that we don't understand how they were doing this, there has to be some sort of other force making
surely
this happen.
The people couldn't do this.
Surely not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's, like, also theories that, like, the Nephilim are, like, the ones who carried the stones to the pyramids, like, because they're so huge.
Yep, okay.
So all of that shit. It's just people trying to, like, explain our origin story. But this
Which
person...
Which I get. Like, we're all trying to make sense of our lives.
And it's interesting and fun to think about.
It is.
Whatever it is. And I'm not doing a great job at being, like, on the team for this argument, but whatever.
Listen, you came in hot. You were like, we're really gonna root for these people, and we're like, well, I don't know.
That just like as listen. I say it out loud, I don't know. Like it, like I can see how it connects, and like that's fun in like yeah. a literary way,
totally.
But it stays kind of like literary to me. Like I don't feel this one.
No,
yeah,
not on the depths of your insides. No,
but I'm attracted to it because of like the religion quality. Like sure. You know how I am.
I know how you are.
Yeah. So this user who I feel like is female, but probably isn't, just like these posters aren't usually female.
Okay.
Yeah. Goes on to like connect Orion to Egypt, to the Nephilim, to like ancient alien shit. Like you were just talking about in Egypt, to like the Pharaoh's headdresses mimicking a snake because like that one fallen angel, is the same as Osiris
bringing
and like imparted knowledge.
Circle.
Yeah. But then they pivot to talk about the tall whites. Have you ever heard about the tall whites or the short grays or the tall grays?
No, but I'm already frightened. This already feels like the kind of social path we cannot go down. Talking about the tall whites. Oh, Jesus Lord.
So those are three kinds of like aliens, extraterrestrials, or perhaps subterrestrials, depending on if you believe in Hollow Earth or not.
Well, that is another episode. Hollow Earthers. Also Flat Earthers. That's a whole nother.
Flat Earth is tough. That's a tough one.
Oh, God.
I want to be open to it, but.
Listen, Flat Earth that's a tough one. Hollow Earth. Less tough? Question mark?
Less tough.
Okay.
Still fantastical.
Yeah. But, absolutely.
But I'm like more here for that one.
Okay. I see you.
Yeah. So this person and some other people and current ancient alien theorists will like go on to connect like the head shapes of like ancient mummies and like, you know, like the people that shaped the heads in Peru, like they like elongated the forehead, like with
yes.
that plate.
Yeah.
Basically like all these people are like, well, why would they do that? Like, they must be like mimicking something. Like, what are they mimicking? Like, what's so appealing about like that head shape? And then like also saying that in ancient Egypt, like Nefertiti and her husband, whose name escapes me right now, or Nefertiti, however I'm supposed to say it.
I've heard Tidy and Titi. So I'm here for all the tits. Yeah. Whatever.
I have heard both as well. But that they were all like either like ancient aliens slash like Nephilim offspring. And that's why they were like taller, more beautiful, but also more snake-like
than other people. And why they were the ones in power.
And why they were the ones in power. So that's where I was, what I was getting at is that like, then you're familiar with like lizard people, right?
Loosely, but like let's put just like a little bit of background on this.
Okay. I don't know like background. Lizard people is just kind of like a catch-all term, I feel like, for like literally reptilian human hybrids that control like the ebbs and flows of power.
And the government in this country. The
government, money, like perhaps space and time.
There's like a lot of talk that like, you know, people say that about like both of the Clintons. That they're like reptiles.
Yeah, and there's all those memes of Hillary's eyes.
I just love that series of memes. So much it doesn't get old. It really doesn't.
So stupid. Huh. And the whole royal family. Like, everybody thinks that, like, the whole royal family is lizards.
Yeah.
So, like,
that's lizard people.
Yeah. And that, to me, because I have not done a lot of research on this portion of it, because I'm like, what the fuck is this nonsense?
Yeah, sure.
Not even interesting.
It's I'm just here for Hillary's eyes, though.
Most modern conspiracy theories, if you like follow the thread far enough, it ends up at that shit.
Wow. Okay.
Like it's tangled up in that like deeply. So the Nephilim are no different.
Okay.
And because of their snake qualities and like the fact that it's like an ancient bloodline conspiracy.
I mean, yeah.
Makes people be like, oh, it's the aliens like since forever.
Man, you get on ancient bloodlines and all roads lead to trouble, I think.
All trouble. Yeah. Like, because Gary Wayne's point is that, like, the Nephilim were trying to, like, infect, like, all the lines, like, so that, like, to be sure that Jesus's line would be infected so that they could create, like, a super antichrist.
Oh, wow.
Instead of Jesus. Like, if Mary could have, like, Nephilim blood in her and then God chose Mary, Jesus would be
part Nephilim.
Part Nephilim. Yeah.
Okay.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then the idea is like they're still trying to get that going. Like they're still trying to make like some kind of antichrist comeback. Oh.
Long fucking game being played.
And think about this. Nephilim, they're not humans and they're not angels.
Okay.
And they're not fallen angels. So when they die, what happens to them?
Where do they go?
What a lot of people think is that, and I've like looked up some demonology stuff to back this up, but like that's what demons are, is like the spirits of the Nephilim, because when they die, they can't leave. Like they can't go to heaven, but like they don't go to hell either.
Wow.
So they're just like angry and forever like roaming, trying to find a body because they're like trying to seek physical immortality.
Wow. Okay.
It's crazy.
This is some exorcism.
Sorry,
shit.
I said I try not to use that word, but yeah, it's The Exorcist. It's Stargate. It's
a lot of things.
Lizards. It's Hollow Earth. It's all of it. Bloodlines. It's Dan Brown.
It's Dan Brown.
Yeah, it's Dan Brown. It's Dan Brown. Oh, so before we do, because I want to move into a Mary Fuck Kill to wrap this, I have one question that I've been kind of thinking about a lot with this week.
Okay.
And you might not have like an opinion or an answer, but I've been thinking.
I usually do.
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about like the idea of immortality and if it's actually advantageous because think about this. The Nephilim like are trying to like gain immortality. Like they want it. Angels are not ever supposed to reproduce. Like, so that was part of the problem is like angels are just supposed to like be themselves forever and they don't need to reproduce because they're immortal.
Right.
Humans are not immortal. So we have to reproduce.
Right.
But God liked us more for some reason, even though we're seemingly inferior.
Than the Nephilim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if it's actually an advantage to be mortal, because as a species, we can grow more than one immortal being ever could.
Yeah. Well, and that, I think that is really the conundrum, because I think if you had a civilization or a group of people that was immortal and you weren't faced like with that immortality, you're not faced with the, even the constraints or the struggles of aging.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to like assume, you know, you're going to maybe like go from like a child to some area of adulthood, but you're not going to have like your body failing out on you and that kind of thing. I think the theory would be that you could achieve great things.
Because you have tons of time. Tons of time as you need.
And minds that you can collaborate with eternally.
But you're stuck in your own perspective.
You are stuck in your own perspective. That's true. In theory, maybe you'd have some cooperation. I hear what you're saying, though. Because if you are immortal, you're not reproducing, right?
Well, it makes me think of like when the Israelites were like led out of Egypt by Moses.
Okay.
They had to wander in the desert for 40 years.
Yes.
Because the whole slave generation had to die off and the next generation went to the promised land because they were born free.
Yeah.
And they could be free in a way that the people who were born slaves would never know how.
Yeah.
So like that's like a generational reset where like the because of their previous experience in their life, they would never be able to grow in the way that their offspring could grow because they were born into a different situation.
Yeah.
So as humans, it's almost like we have infinite potential because of our mortality. Like
I'd vibe with that.
You know what I mean? Like as a species, like because each generation has some level of reset, like we're able to like pick up the baton hopefully and like carry it further.
And you would hope on some level, like from an individual perspective, that you would say, you know, if I were immortal, like I would continue to grow and evolve. Like you would hope that. I mean, because at the end of the day, like as humans, we are like growing and evolving all the time. Is some of that fueled by our mortality? Maybe. But I think.
Well, I think it's the constant change for us. It's that there's new ones of us all the time.
Right. And fresh ideas and things that wouldn't come to mind previously, for sure.
Yeah. No. So just been thinking a lot about that. And then it's making me have like an existential crisis because I'm like, am I better as a cog than an individual?
Ooh. Well, that's very Eastern and Western philosophy. And I guess that's kind of what I was thinking at is, if you as an individual are immortal and you continue, you would hope you'd continue to grow because we see ourselves as people who are continuing to grow and evolve all the time. And some of that's maybe fueled by the fact that we aren't, we don't have immortality, right? Because there's kind of this like place that you're headed.
Yeah.
But you talking about, well, the civilization, if we're not bringing any new folks in and we're kind of just going and you're always the same, there's not any growth that way. And to me, it's like very Eastern, Western thought. It's like the triumph of the individual or the triumph of the civilization. Mm-hmm. And maybe as like an immortal human, you could evolve in ways over time that you never would, just having like a finite amount of time.
Fair.
But would the whole group progress? Maybe you have an argument for how it wouldn't be so progressive. That's the triumph of the individual versus the triumph of like the family or the community or the country. It's Eastern and Western.
Well, if we take it to like back to mythology, like if we look at Greek mythology, like the Olympian gods are like very powerful and old, but like very inflexible.
Yeah.
And it's not like that seems to me to be a story where people kind of like, or not people, gods, like dug in over time. But that's one example.
If you base it like in a Christian stream of thought, it's a little bit Old Testament and New Testament. Like Old Testament God is like a lot more inflexible in a lot of ways.
He also fucking massacres people. But if you read through, it's usually because there's Nephilim there. Like when he goes like fucking hog wild on the Amorites, is that what they are?
Sure.
When he tells fucking that one guy, Joshua, David, it's referenced in the movie A Knight's Tale.
Oh boy. Bringing it full circle, baby.
Really doing a good job with my references tonight.
Don't change, though. I like it.
But yeah, like Old Testament God, like being so different from New Testament God. Like, I don't know. Like, you think of him as like the mean one.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
Rigid, strict, the wrathful. Law. Wrathful, totally. Yeah.
But as I was going through like some of that in the Old Testament in prep for this episode, I noticed that either giants or Nephilim were like alluded to or name dropped in those situations where God was like losing his shit on a civilization. And so again, it kind of feels like that like little whisper of justification.
Yeah.
To be like, but the genocide is fine. Like,
right.
They're evil. We need to do it.
Right.
Which is a weird feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting story. And then, I mean, it can feel weird. And then some of that comes from like, do you think that this is like fact or fiction? Or do you think that this is like a parable or an origin story? Or do you think this is historical? And that is up to every individual.
I think if I was like really going to dig into my feelings and be like, what is my true opinion of this? Like, is there any space for this in my worldview?
Mm-hmm.
I think that I would say that the Nephilim could be some other kind of like race, whether it's like alien or like from another time or whatever.
Sure.
Or some kind of like alternative DNA thing that's going on Earth that we don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of that like alien stuff has truth to it, but we just don't really understand it. So like, I don't think that they're like fallen angels with like a bloodline plan against God to like create the Antichrist. You know, like, yeah. I don't think it's that.
Okay.
But I could see maybe like them being, I don't know, like from the future or like some kind of like DNA thing from another like dimension. We just really don't know what's going on.
I mean, listen, we don't know what's going on. I guess the way my mind bends on these kind of things always is I'm like, this is the fantastical narrative to explain something that's going on. And
most
so
likely that.
For me, I'm like, oh, here's this like race of people who came from a neighboring land who like brought like new germs and then like that killed people. And so people were like, we got to get rid of these people who are making us all sick because it must be because they're evil.
Totally. They put a spell on us.
Yeah. And because you're trying to explain it because people don't know what germs are. Nobody's like, oh,
and, like,
I got
the
germs.
The newcomers, if you will, aren't dying, but like all the people that live with you are. And you're like, don't understand like group immunity. And
So that's where my mind goes is like what.
Yeah,
it's and here's probably, the woven narrative that is more fantastical to explain that. So like whether or not you subscribe to like an arc thing really happened, I'm like maybe there's like a really bad storm and here's the story for how we justified this like really shitty thing that happened to us.
Yeah, yeah, and all that like lizard people stuff really is just like to explain how. I mean, it's like Marx's theory, like how do like powerful people stay in power? Oh, it must be a conspiracy, and some of it is, but it's probably lizards.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I think.
Or Nephilim. But
I'll never stop looking at those memes of Hillary Clinton's eyes.
I know. I love it so much.
I love you, Hill Dog, and I love those memes. Oh my gosh.
Okay. So to wrap us up.
Okay.
I need you to choose to marry, fuck, or kill.
Oh God, my favorite.
There are three man gods.
Okay.
All part human, part god.
Okay.
Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
Nephilim. Pope.
Well, this feels complicated because I feel like I probably know the most about the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that feels the most accessible to me.
I can field questions on the other two if it's helpful.
Maybe. The Nephilim is, like, the grayest of them. There is some fear after all that, like, giant dick talk about being involved with the Nephilim in any way.
So if, like, let's say a man, human man is 6 feet tall and a Nephilim man, of like medium to high stature is 24 feet tall.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's four times. So you're working with like a like 4x dick. Like it's like just four times as large as usual.
This is very frightening.
So keep that one in mind, you know, as you choose.
I think
that makes this one really tricky, I feel like.
I feel like it makes it pretty straightforward for me. I would kill the Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
I would fuck the Pope because I would like to be part of a religious scandal. And I would marry the Pharaoh because that life seems the most fun. Also, they worship cats, which I'm here for.
Oh.
That feels very on brand for me.
Yeah.
Also, cosmetics. The Egyptians and, like, the makeup game was, like, hard. Men were, like, in that eyeliner. That's also very on brand for me.
And everyone's body is so smooth and tan.
I think you're just thinking of the Mummy movie franchise.
I'm thinking of all this. Oh, statues can't have hair.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they can, but they don't, you know?
Yeah, no. I'm just thinking of all the renderings of them,
but they carved in stone. They like shaved their head and wore wigs. They were very anti-body hair because of the lice control.
Yeah, well, that's true. I don't know. I'm very much here, I think, to be in a pharaoh situation. I would like be just
wander
like
around the palace in like loose garments, get in and out of those baths.
I'd be
that are
covered
like
in gold and bejeweled. I'd be like wearing really thick eyeliner, which I feel like could work for me. It's not my usual jam, but like I could wing it out.
No, you can figure it out.
Yeah,
man.
Hell yeah. I love a cosmetic game. I love cats. I'm here for this one. So pharaoh for sure. Fuck the Pope because you're going to go down in history right there. Like people are going to be talking about
you. Do you get in trouble if you fuck the Pope? Like what happens?
I mean, I think the Pope would get in trouble. Why would you get in trouble?
I don't know because when do women not get in trouble? I don't know.
I'm sure you wouldn't be painted in a flattering light. Okay. That I'm sure.
Maybe kind of like a Monica Lewinsky situation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she didn't like experience true reprimanding, but from the press.
Yeah, people weren't kind to her.
No, not at all.
I would think it would be kind of a similar situation. But I would hope, I don't know, that the truth would come out maybe like after I was dead and then people could speculate wildly. Or like on my deathbed, I'd be like, I fucked Pope, like, you know, John,
you
Michael,
need a
George,
trinket
Peter.
To prove it.
I would.
What could you?
Well, I'll listen, there are a lot of things in the Vatican I'm sure I could leave with.
Yeah. I mean, a picture would be great, but
I don't know, man.
If you could like, well, no one but you can see me, but if you could like reach up behind and like take a picture of the back of his head and your face.
I mean, that's just like something I wouldn't want to exist.
Maybe.
I just want the story. You're like looking for, this is like a, I'm not trying to blackmail
you. You said you
people.
Wanted the scandal. Well, I'm trying to help you.
I want the scandal in the history books, not on the news.
Well, but that's how we make the history books now.
I want to fuck a pope in like the 18th century.
There it is.
I'm not trying to fuck present day popes.
Okay. All right. I think I would choose the same.
Yeah?
I was really tempted to marry the Nephilim, but then I thought about it more and was like, no.
Yeah, there's just a
lot. And then I couldn't stop thinking about Many Waters, and I was like, I don't want to be that stretched out, and it's going to be a whole thing where, like, I have to have sex with other Nephilim, too, if I'm married to the one, because there's, like, sharing, and I'm not into that.
No.
No.
No. Mm-mm.
But some of their magic would be fun. I don't know.
Yeah. What if you married the Pope? Does that make you God?
I gave that some thought as well. No.
Okay, well, I tried.
I feel like it just kind of makes the Pope not the Pope anymore.
Well, papal infallacy. You ask the Catholic Church, you see what they say.
Be Black Pope.
Black Popes.
Where they put the veil? Something about a...
When I was in high school, and sometimes I question the validity of whether or not this is true.
Yeah.
But I like to believe...
I've never looked it up.
The Black Popes, like the Popes that were like shady dealings... And we're like, you know, taking bribes and whatever. Like, oh, if you pay me this money, like your person in your family who died will like definitely go to heaven. But like, if you don't, they totally won't. Like, you have to get your family out of purgatory by giving us money. Like, there's like shady shit.
Also,
going
go
on.
Watch the movie Luther if you want more on that.
But, yeah. But I had a history teacher in my Catholic school tell me that in the Vatican with like some of the popes that are bad, they like don't take their pictures off the wall or whatever, but they'll like cover them or they'll like, they won't light the candles that are next to them.
That's so fucking passive aggressive.
I know, and I kind of love it, and I hope it's true. And I don't,
no, I really hope that it's true.
I've never looked into this. He's like, oh yeah. He was like, they don't. He goes, you don't like get rid of it because it's history. He's like, but you know, they just like cover him up and dim the lights.
Just, we don't need to see you.
We don't need to see you, sir. I don't know.
Leave you in the dark.
Leave you in the dark. And on the note of leaving you in the dark.
Yeah.
Please don't leave us in the dark and help me out on this one, because I really wanted to bring Katy Perry back to this episode. And I don't feel like I did it effectively.
Oh, we didn't.
We didn't. But like, if you have any just like strong feelings about Katy Perry and Funfetti Cake and how she can be part of this narrative.
I'm trying to think like while you're talking, I'm like, okay, I maybe have like 20 more seconds to figure out how.
I don't know. Listen, Katy Perry, Funfetti Cake.
Tell us what your Christian upbringing thinks about the Nephilim and how you connect that to your current ancient alien feels.
And tell us, if you had the powers of Katy Perry, what store-bought dessert you would try and reincarnate.
What would you choose?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I don't know. I don't have a sweet tooth. Oh. There's this one specific treat. White cheddar Tarango? That they used to sell at Trader Joe's that, like, you can never find anymore.
White cheddar what? Booty?
Cheese.
Oh, just this cheese. There's
a specific kind of cheese. And on that note, feelings on desserts or savory treats, get at us at whyyourelikethispod on Instagram or via email at whyyourelikethispod@gmail.com.
Good night.
Good morning.
Good day.
Whatever.